السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرة مفتي ياقو صاحب، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you on this beautiful Tuesday morning. And I hope you and Abba and the family are in the best of health and the weather in Newcastle. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. Today we have you live on air. InshaAllah. Hazrat Mufti Saab, the platform is yours.
جزاكم الله خيرا أجزاك، بارك الله فيكم، وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، جزاكم الله خيرا for the opportunity. الحمد لله، may Allah سبحانه وتعالى in these few minutes help us share what is beneficial for the Ummah. الحمد لله. Really respected Ummah, only Allah has awakened us. And Allah has given us another day in our life to become better. Allah has given us another day to make a difference. Allah has given us another day to make a change. And really, we have to seize this opportunity. Allah save us that a day that Allah gives us mustn't distance us from Allah. But every day we have to aspire and acquire proximity to Him. So we look at a Sahabiya, radiallahu anha, who comes from a very noble family. She comes from the Banu Umayyah clan. She embraced Islam in the early Meccan stage. Her name was Hazrat Ramla, radiallahu anha. And she was such a noble individual. She protected her iman, she protected her deen. And when she had received the truth and embraced the truth, subhanallah, she aspired for it, but her father couldn't bear it. Her husband also, he was from the Christian faith, and he was among those who worshipped in the prior times of paganism. So his name was Ubaidullah bin Jahsh. And then he also saw the beauty of Islam and embraced Islam. Now the couple together migrated to Abyssinia because the Meccan society had unleashed a lot of torture and tyranny upon the Muslims. What happened then was, in Abyssinia, her father tried to get her back because he couldn't bear the fact that his own child had embraced Islam. Who was her father? Now this was prior to Islam entering his heart, long prior. Her name was Hazrat Ramla. His name, her father's name was Abu Sufyan, who later became a very great Sahabi, radiallahu anhu. But this is prior to that. So he is the leader in the Meccan society. And now his daughter embraces Islam. Abu Sufyan is like the chief in charge of Makkah. His own daughter embraces Islam. It affected him and it shocked him. You know, it created shock waves in him. Now he didn't know what to do to get her back. But he couldn't do anything. She's there in Abyssinia. She is motivating and she was protecting her iman there. But sadly, and this is the lesson for you and I, we have to worry for our iman daily. This iman is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can lose it at any time. And as I mentioned to you what happened now, I want to mention to you the dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, where he said, "Oh Allah, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Allah save me and my offspring from worshipping idols. Allah save us from idolatry. أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Allah, idolatry and the system of idolatry has misled many people. Whoever follows me is from me. And whoever does not, you are mighty and wise." The point here is, imagine Hazrat Ibrahim is worried that his progeny must not forsake their deen. That's why even on the death of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he's worried about the iman of his children. What would you all do after me, my children? Will you all maintain your iman? Imagine that's the question the Nabi of Allah is posing to his children. Now here, Ubaidullah sees the Christians and started joining them. And when he started joining them, his wife was worried about this. Let's see, you're joining bad company. What happened then was, she sees a dream one day that he is in a pitiable light. The next day, he comes to her and he says, "You know, I've analyzed the situation. I'm no more a Muslim, na'udhu billah. And you also must leave Islam." She says, "I'll never leave my deen. Islam is pure. My deen is pure. I'll never do so." He says, "I insist that you do so, otherwise I will divorce you. She said, with all due respect, my Allah is forever. If I forsake my deen today, I'll suffer in the afterlife. He said, in that case, I'm divorcing you. Allahu Akbar, he left her. And he then went full into alcohol and he died as a Christian in Abyssinia. What we learn from here, that a person can have Islam, you and I, this is the lesson. But if we join bad company, Allah save us, that effect of that company would fall into us. That's why Allah has blessed us this morning. We have awakened another day. Let's make sure we join good company. And if we end up in any bad company, we must give the message of Islam and separate ourselves from those companies, from those associates, from those associations. But look at her. Allah blessed her. Thereafter, she remained firm on her deen. And alhamdulillah, she felt bad about what was going on. Hazrat Ramla, she was known as Ummu Habiba radiallahu anha because Allah Ta'ala blessed her with a child there. And what happens now? Subhanallah. A few years later, she sees a dream. What does she see? The angel addressed her and say, Ya Ummal Mu'mineen. So she's wondering, why is the angel addressing me so? I'm not from the mothers of the believers. And the next day, someone arrives from the side of Najashi, and this little girl, her name was Abraha. She comes to Hazrat Ramla, and she says, the king has sent a message to you. Who? Najashi. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposes for your hand in marriage. What do you feel? Subhanallah. She was so elated by this. Whatever little bangle she had and jewelry, she took it out and gave it to the little girl, Abraha. The little girl was a servant in the palace of Najashi, Ashama bin Abjar. Anyway, Najashi arranged the marriage. Who was appointed? A Sahabi by the name of Khalid bin Sa'id, radiallahu anhu. And the Sahaba attended that amazing nikah, the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Hazrat Ramla, or basically the nikah of Hazrat Ramla to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba attended and Najashi was present. This was in the home of Najashi, and this Mubarak marriage took place. Subhanallah. And Najashi actually spoke and said, Inna Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam katabali an uzawijahu umma habibata bint Abi Sufyan man ulakum biha ajab al qawm. And then he rendered, and that, you know, that nikah took place. Who was made responsible to carry out the nikah was Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id bin As radiallahu anhu. And in that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nikah took place. And you know who arranged for the walima? He said, your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah is walima. So Najashi arranged for them the walima, because he said, فَإِنَّ سُنَّةَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, this is the sunnah of the anbiya. And they read that walima takes place. And subhanallah, that was how Hazrat Ummu Habiba radiallahu anha, who persevered, who protected her deen, who made sure that her deen comes first, she refused to forsake her iman. She came from Abyssinia to from Makkah Mukarramah to Abyssinia. The environment, you know, was different. They didn't have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam right there with them. They protected their iman. Hazrat Maulana Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahimahullah writes that Sahaba went to Abyssinia to protect their iman. But that's not all what they went for. Wherever Sahaba went, they went with the intention of propagating Allah's deen. And this is a very, very important intention every one of us should have. That wherever we are in the world, how can we uplift the deen of Allah? How can we spread the deen of Allah? When we have this intention, Allah will help us with istiqamah to die on iman. That's why in the Quran, in Surah Hamim, As-Sajda, chapter 41 of the Quran Kareem, in the verses 29, Allah speaks of istiqamah. After أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا, that is those who proclaim outright that our Rabb is Allah, ربنا الله, and they remain on aqidah, on this correct aqidah and belief till they die. ثم استقاموا, they remain firm on this belief. What's the blessings? The malaika of Allah will descend upon them profusely. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. In their life, and especially at the time of their death, where they will be able to see the malaika. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا malaika will tell them, don't fear, don't grieve, and rejoice. وَأَبْشِرُوا. Rejoice with this jannah that you are promised. بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Then the malaika say, you know, we are your friends. In this worldly life also, we were your friends. And in the akhirah also, we will be your friends, meaning you won't be alone in the grave. Now, how are the malaika their friends? And you and I should learn this. When we go to good works and attend good gatherings and participate in the works of deen, then we acquire the presence of the malaika with us, especially from the masajid, because the masajid are filled with the malaika. And then when we do good amal, the malaika join along. So we get a special abundance of the malaika with us. But when we do bad works, then the other malaika leave. It's just that the two angels that are recording our deeds, they are now in a situation where they have to remain with us. Otherwise, they don't want to, because of the despicable actions that we sometimes fall into. Allah Ta'ala save us. But an interesting question I have for you is, how do the angels know? Because on certain occasions, these two angels leave a person. Number one, when he is relieving himself. Number two, when a person is fulfilling his conjugal relations, conjugal rights, relationship with his consort, with his wife. Number two. And the third state is in the hala of janaba. So in these occasions, the angels move aside. How do they know if a person cleaned himself in the restroom or followed sunnah in his relationship with his partner? How will the angels know? The interesting thing here is, the angels know from the scent that emanates from a person's body. A person was fulfilling his need in the toilet. He was going to the toilet to relieve himself. He comes out of the toilet. If he followed sunnah in the toilet, and if he washed correctly and thoroughly in the toilet, that also is known, and that's how the angel knows from that scent. For example, you know, if you are accustomed to using good itar, my respected ummah, and you pay expensive for that itar, you know this is the pure one, and you know the one that is full of chemicals or has a lot of soap, or you know the difference. You can see the thick nature of it and so forth. Imagine the perfume, the merchant who's selling the perfume, the oil perfume, the proper tarah perfume. Yeah, the angel knows. This is the experience of these angels. So imagine the scent that emanates from the body when sunnah is practiced. Then the other interesting point here is, when a person dies and he always attended good works, these two angels make dua for him, that may Allah bless you. You know how many a time you helped us and you made it easy for us because you took us to wonderful places. Subhanallah. So respected Ummah, let's make this intention. Wherever there's good works taking place, let us be part and parcel. Where there's righteousness taking place, join. Where there's mashura taking place, sit. Where there's ta'lim taking place, participate. Where there's fikr and there's islah taking place, participate. Where there's a dars of deen taking place, any good works, subhanAllah, the angels tell him, may Allah bless you. How many times you took us to these wonderful places? But when this person used to attend places of filth and vice and promiscuity and waywardness and a sinful life, the angels are disgusted. And they say, may Allah curse you and ruin you. How you made us suffer with you, tagging along behind you in these despicable places. That's why a dying man begs Allah, Allah, if you send me back, I'll give more for you. For as-saddaq, it means monetarily, I'll give more for you. But also encompasses, I'll give more of other valuable things I have. My time for you, my know-how for you, my position, my status for you. Now it's not too late. Use the status Allah gave us to introduce Allah to the people. The time Allah gave us, the wealth Allah gave us, the position Allah gave us, the status Allah gave us. You are the CEO of that company. Make the message of Islam available. Leave some brochures on Islam on the table where it's available. You want to leave advertisement, things on special. What about making Allah's deen available? What about leaving that there? Are you ashamed, brother? Are you ashamed of making Islam available? Don't we live for Islam? Our time has elapsed. Let's protect our iman, and so that we can leave this world with iman, but not selfishly, but that we've taken many, many people towards iman as well. Jazakumullah khairan for the opportunity. May Allah.